Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
First, North Korea said Tuesday it planned to launch an Earth observation satellite between February 8th and 25th. It said the launch is part of its peaceful space program. It says it wants to place satellites in space to gather information to help its weather experts make predictions. But many experts say it is a way for the country to develop its nuclear weapons program. That program would be in violation of a United Nations ban on such activities. The New York Times reports the proposed launch is part of a North Korean effort to develop an intercontinental ballistic missile that can deliver a nuclear bomb. The newspaper reports that the United States has been helping to write a new UN Security Council resolution that would punish North Korea for these tests and launches. On January 6th, North Korea conducted a nuclear test. The United States, South Korea, and Japan have warned North Korea that it will be punished severely if the launch takes place. South Korea had talked about peace negotiations with the North, but that idea ended after the nuclear test in January. And this week, there are reports that South Korean companies may stop operating in the Kaesong Industrial Complex if the launch takes place. The area is operated jointly by North and South Korea, but is 6 miles north of the border with South Korea. It was formed in 2002. About 120 South Korean companies operate in the area, or zone. About 50,000 North Koreans work there. Some work at South Korean-owned factories there. This benefits both sides. It is the only development program between the two countries that is still operating. Almost all relations and aid programs were canceled in 2010 after South Korea accused the North of sinking a South Korean naval warship that killed 46 sailors. President Park Geun-hye's support for strong international sanctions against North Korea has made South Korea's relations with the U.S. stronger. At the same time, it has weakened its relations with China. Jonathan Pollock is an East Asia policy expert at the Brookings Institution, a research group in Washington. He says Chinese President Xi Jinping has chosen not to communicate in a meaningful fashion with the government of the Republic of Korea, or with President Park Geun-hye, who he has closely cultivated over a period of time. China opposes North Korea's nuclear program, but continues to support the country. China is reluctant to support strong sanctions. Instead, it has called for international talks to end North Korea's nuclear weapons program in return for economic aid and security. However, North Korea says its nuclear weapons program is necessary for national defense. It says it will not negotiate an end to the program. That means it will be difficult for China to convince North Korea to end its nuclear activities. Critics say that if China does not take part in sanctions against North Korea, it will send that country a message of support. Experts worry that sanctions put in place against North Korea by the United States or the United Nations could hurt China. That is because North Korea is already isolated and dependent on China for fuel, trade, and aid. Possible limits on trade and on companies that operate in North Korea could hurt Chinese companies and banks. Next, Christopher Jones Cruz tells us what some researchers have found about American attitudes toward Islam.
Americans are split on how their next president should talk about Islamic extremism, says a new public opinion study. The study found that 65% of Republican supporters say the next president should speak directly about Islamic extremism, even if the statements are critical of Islam. But among Democrats, 70% said they want the next president to speak more carefully about the issue. The Pew Research Center conducted the poll last month. Almost half of those who took part in the study said they believe some Muslim Americans disagree with U.S. culture, politics, and policies. About 11% believe most or almost all Muslim Americans are anti-American. A Pew study conducted in December found almost half said they believe Islam is more likely than other religions to encourage violence. A similar number said they are very concerned about an increase in Islamic extremism in the United States. And almost two-thirds said they believe the bigger problem is that religion is used by violent people as a reason for their violent actions. On Wednesday, President Barack Obama visited a mosque or Muslim religious center in Baltimore, Maryland. He said Muslim Americans are seen negatively by many Americans because of the increase in terrorism linked to Islamist extremists. The president's visit is a simple but powerful affirmation of the fact that American Muslims are a part of the mosaic of American society, said Omid Sofi, director of the Duke Islamic Studies Center in North Carolina, in an email to VOA. Hopefully, it will serve as a reminder of the need to affirm the full rights of all of us, regardless of faith and ethnicity. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
The illegal hunting of animals, called poaching, is robbing many African countries of living natural resources, their wildlife. Anne Ball tells us about a deadly attack that has taken the life of a pilot fighting elephant poachers in Tanzania.
A helicopter pilot died while chasing elephant poachers in Tanzania last Friday. British pilot Roger Gower, 37, was working for the Friedkin Conservation Fund and the Tanzanian government. He was trying to prevent elephant poachers from escaping the Maswa Game Reserve near Serengeti National Park. The men opened fire on his helicopter with AK-47 rifles. Gower was able to land his helicopter, but died before he could be rescued. Local authorities have arrested suspects in the shooting. The British publication Daily Mail reported that Gower may have been shot down by poachers who sell illegal ivory to fund terrorism. It is said that sales in elephant tusks supplies money used to fund Islamic extremist groups such as Al-Qaeda affiliate Al-Shabaab. Over the weekend, U.S. Interior Secretary Sally Jewell visited South Africa to see for herself the terrible practice of poaching. Jewell stood by a dead white rhino killed by poachers in South Africa and called it a sad scene.
And it's a scene that is frustrating because I think South Africa has done such a good job of bringing the white rhino back from the brink of extinction. So to see a white rhino in this condition is difficult.
She called on nations around the world to work together to stop wildlife trafficking. At the Kruger National Park, she saw a male white rhino that had been shot and killed by poachers. They removed its horn and left behind the rest of the body for vultures to eat. A park team took DNA samples and other evidence from the rhino. They hope it can convict the poachers once they are found. Edna Malawa is South Africa's Minister of Water and Environment. She said, "Giving up is not an option. We have to fight this battle and we have to win." Jewell called on the world to stand up and fight wildlife trafficking in all its forms.
We need the world to see this kind of thing so that they'll actually take action. And also recognize that the only value of rhino horn is on a live animal. Otherwise, it is valueless.
South Africa has 22,000 white rhino, the world's largest population. Nearly half live in the Kruger National Park. But poachers keep hunting them and killing them for their horns. Most of the horns are sold on the international black market, particularly in Asian countries like China and Vietnam. Customers buy the powdered horn thinking it has the power to heal or make a man more virile. Science has proven that rhino horns have no magic powers and are made of the same things as fingernails. Last year, poachers killed more than 1,000 rhinos. Now, the country uses both ground and air rangers to protect the rhinos. They also watch over hundreds of other wildlife animals from armed poachers. The rangers say they are a very dedicated group. They say they are protecting the animals because they belong to everybody. As one ranger said, "It is not only for us Africans, but for the whole world." The African elephant, African lion, cheetah, and the black and the white rhino all have one thing in common. They are all on South Africa's endangered species list. Jewell said she has a mouthful to report to President Obama. And the secretary warned that these animals, particularly the black rhinos, are at risk of going extinct if we don't act, and we don't act quickly. I'm Ann Ball.
One country in Southeast Asia is aging faster than any other. Mary Gottschall tells us which country it is and how the elderly are facing what some are calling a debt culture.
Vietnam's population is growing old at the fastest rate of any nation in recorded history. In about 15 years, Vietnam's share of people aged 65 years or older will rise from 7 to 14% of the population. By comparison, the aging process will take longer, about 25 years, in two nearby countries, China and Myanmar. World Bank Vietnam Director Victoria Quoc Hoa says the aging of Vietnam's population will strain the workforce. She spoke at a Canadian Chamber of Commerce event in Ho Chi Minh City. Low-cost labor has powered businesses in Vietnam. It is the only country in East Asia where economic growth was higher in 2015 than 2014, said Quoc Hoa. But the aging workforce threatens that growth and adds to a list of issues that Vietnam faces: high debt, low government reserves, and dependence on foreign investment are some of the risks to the economy. For many years, Vietnam has been a country of savers, but now it is experiencing growing levels of household debt. Ralph Mathays is managing director of InFocus Mekong Research, a market research firm. He said he was very surprised when his business found that 30% of Vietnamese consumers took out a loan in 2015. Vietnam is becoming a debt culture, which is a little bit like China and some other places, he said. So this is the one thing that I would worry about in the future. Many countries are worried about how China's economic problems could hurt them. Vietnam could be spared much of the impact. Its exports to China are only about half of what Vietnam exports to Europe or the United States, according to the General Statistics Office. Fred Burke is managing partner at the law office Baker & McKenzie. He suggested Vietnam consider how it can profit from China. Chinese companies with good experience as residential real estate developers coming in and building projects here, you know, that's the kind of investment Vietnam actually needs because they've got appropriate technology, he said. The price point is right. There's a lot, actually, China and Vietnam can do together. This advice may not be followed. Vietnamese relations with China have worsened recently over territorial disputes in the South China Sea. But that has not stopped Vietnam from buying more products from China than from any other trading partner. I'm Mary Gottschall.
A man who served years in jail is free after a court found him innocent. Bruce Alpert tells us the details of this case and more about the problem of people wrongly found guilty of crimes.
Floyd Bledsoe walked out of prison last December after 16 years in jail. Bledsoe was freed after government lawyers in Kansas decided that a court's 2000 ruling against him was a mistake. The court found him guilty of killing his sister-in-law. The U.S. National Registry of Exonerations says Bledsoe was one of 149 prisoners cleared of criminal charges last year. That is the largest number of exonerations ever, it reported this week. The registry is part of the University of Michigan Law School. There is a growing awareness that false convictions are a substantial, widespread, and tragic problem, the report said. More than two-thirds of those cleared last year had been jailed for killings or drug cases, the registry said. Five people were sentenced to death. Floyd Bledsoe was 23 years old when he was sentenced to life in prison in 2000. The court's decision was based largely on statements made by his brother, according to the Midwest Innocence Project. The group worked for years to free Bledsoe. His brother, Tom Bledsoe, took his own life in November 2015. He left a note admitting he did the killing. Floyd Bledsoe's lawyers said the note and genetic evidence helped win his release from prison. After he left jail, Bledsoe, now 39, asked the Kansas legislature to abolish death sentences. "We must stop the death penalty today," he told legislators. "Tomorrow, it might be too late for one person." I'm Bruce Alpert.
In our next story, we hear how officials in the state of North Carolina have rescued hundreds of animals from a warehouse. Dan Friedel tells us more.
Nearly 700 animals in North Carolina are safe after being rescued from a shelter. The American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals saved dogs, cats, horses, and pigs from awful living conditions. The ASPCA spokesperson says the animals were dirty, sick, thirsty, and hungry. The shelter was supposed to help and care for the animals, but many of the animals were sick and neglected. The state and local sheriff's office investigated the shelter after people complained. They said the animals they adopted were sick and not cared for. The ASPCA says it is the largest rescue in the history of the organization. Police arrested the owners of the shelter on charges of animal cruelty. The ASPCA is taking care of the animals in a large warehouse. 10 animal doctors are helping. The animals are part of a crime investigation, so they will be held as evidence until North Carolina decides what to do with them. I'm Dan Friedel.
This is What's Trending Today. Martin Shkreli has been called the most hated man in America. The businessman was criticized last year after his company sharply raised the price of a life-saving drug. Studies have shown that the drug, Daraprim, can help patients with AIDS and some kinds of cancer. Daraprim is used all over the world. Last year, Shkreli's company, Turing Pharmaceuticals, raised the cost of the drug from $1,350 a pill to $700 a pill. Daraprim once sold for $1 a pill. Shkreli defended the price increase as legal. He has said the move was designed to increase profits for investors. On Thursday, Shkreli appeared at a hearing of the U.S. House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. House members wanted to ask him why the company raised the price of the medicine. Shkreli chose to use his Fifth Amendment rights and did not answer the lawmakers' questions. The Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution says a person does not have to be a witness against himself in a criminal case. But Shkreli was not totally silent on Thursday. He tweeted about the hearing right after it ended. He criticized the lawmakers who were questioning him. In one tweet, he wrote, "Hard to accept that these imbeciles represent the people in our government." By Thursday morning, Martin Shkreli was the number one search on Google. Shkreli trended on Twitter in the United States. On social media, many people criticized Shkreli for smiling during the questioning. One of the lawmakers even said, "It's not funny, Mr. Shkreli. People are dying, and they're getting sicker and sicker." But others on social media criticized members of Congress, saying they did not respect Shkreli's Fifth Amendment rights. And that's What's Trending Today.
In this week's episode of Everyday Grammar, we are going to talk about conditionals. We use conditionals to show that something is true only when something else is true. Conditionals offer endless possibilities for creative and imaginative expression. The present real conditional is the most basic kind of conditional. Basically, when A happens, B happens. Here is an example of a present real conditional. If it rains, I bring an umbrella. Conditionals have two parts: the if clause, if it rains, and the result clause, I bring an umbrella. You could also say, I bring an umbrella if it rains. Poets and songwriters often use conditionals in their work. Listen for the present real conditional in this song by American songwriter Bob Dylan.
If you see her, say hello. She might be in Tangier.
Notice that the verbs see and say are both in the present tense for the present real conditional. The next conditional that we're going to talk about is the present unreal conditional. Use the present unreal conditional to talk about what you would do in an unreal or imaginary situation. If A happened, B would happen. For example, if I were you, I would take the job. The key word is would. It makes the conditional unreal. Would can only be used in the result clause of the sentence. Here's an example from American singer Johnny Cash.
If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, would you marry me anyway? Would you have my baby?
To form a present unreal conditional, use a simple past verb in the if clause. In the result clause, use would followed by a simple present verb. Use the verb were for all nouns in the if clause of the sentence. For example, if she were an animal, she would be a cat. In informal speech, people might say, if she was an animal, she would be a cat. But you should avoid this in formal writing. Now let's talk about the future real conditional. If A happens, B will happen. To make a future real conditional, use will in the result clause. For example, if your plane is late, I will wait in the car. Use the future real conditional to talk about possible situations in the future. Speakers sometimes use the future real conditional to threaten others. Listen to actor Liam Neeson in the 2013 movie Taken. In this scene of the movie, Neeson's character is on the phone threatening the man who kidnapped his daughter.
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
This is only a quick introduction to conditionals. In a future episode of Everyday Grammar, we will talk about past and mixed conditionals. Until then, we will leave you with country music stars Johnny Cash and June Carter.
If you were a carpenter and I were a lady, I'd marry you anyway. I'd have your baby.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.